first sermon I talked about, getting churches started was higher than anything else, even more so than getting a lot of souls saved, but running the church in a way to get other churches started. Now, I want you to notice here in verse number 5, it says ordain elders in every city. Now, you say, why are you saying a church in every province instead of a church in every city? Well, quite honestly, the way we would define a city is going to just vary depending on who you ask. You know, I grew up in a very small town of less than 10,000 people. And in West Virginia, that's common. In fact, in West Virginia, you'll have towns of like a couple hundred people. And so the reason why I'm saying a church in every province, I think what the Bible's trying to highlight is you have good churches all over the place where anybody, no matter where they live, is close enough to access that. Amen. And so when I'm saying a church in every province, what I'm saying is we have churches located everywhere. So even if you live an hour and a half, it's close enough that if you really want to be part of the best church and go soul winning and hear great preaching, you can still access that. Because in today's world, it is a lot easier than when the Bible was written. They didn't have cars in the times of the Bible. It was very difficult to travel a long distance. They would have to put in a big effort. Look, if you live in southern Metro Manila, the truth is that if this was 2,000 years ago, you wouldn't be able to make it to church. You would need a church that is much closer in order to make it. But the reality is, in today's world, you can travel long distances in a much shorter amount of time. Now, I understand jeepneys are not the easiest access, but quite honestly, you can cover a lot of ground that throughout human history was not possible. And so when I'm saying a church in every province, I'm saying that if there is a good church located in every province, that for the most part, anyone would be able to get there if they really wanted to come. Now, some provinces are very big, and you might need multiple churches. But what I'm basically saying is you get a church established in a province, and then that person who runs that church has the same goal of duplicating themselves, and you spread out that way. Basically, logically, church planning, okay? So when you start a church, our first church plant is not in Bicol. You say, why? Because it's a really long distance away. And it wouldn't really be possible to send people down there to preach. It just wouldn't be very logical. Okay, now turn, we'll look in Titus chapter 1. And I want you to realize the first thing that comes is a demand or a need for a church when we're talking about church planning. Notice what it says in verse 5, Titus chapter 1, verse 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. When it says the things that are wanting, what it's saying is there is already a demand for good churches in these areas. There were saved people, people that loved good preaching, people that were soul winners, and they really didn't have a church where they could go to. It's actually pretty similar to today's world. Because in today's world with the internet, many of you a few years ago were listening to great preaching and you wanted to have a church like this, but it just didn't exist. You had no church to go to. It was impossible. And the best you could do is either go to kind of a lame Baptist church or just consider the online ministry a church, which it really isn't. And so there's a need for a church to be established. But see, one church is not enough to reach all of Luzon. We must duplicate. Otherwise, there's going to be a lot of people throughout Luzon that don't have a church to go to in terms of a good church that's like-minded. So first comes the demand. And in verse 5, it says the things that are wanting. I would say to you that throughout Luzon, in every province, there is a demand for a church. And quite honestly, one thing I've noticed when it comes to people that are from the Philippines, oftentimes there are people that aren't really involved with the online ministry. They're not friends with anybody from our movement, but they still send us donations, which makes me realize they're listening to a lot of sermons online. And so they're just not part of this network, but they're looking for a good church in their province. And I believe every single place here in Luzon, there are people in every province that if a church like this started, they would be there from day one. It's not just Metro Manila. Now, I do believe that here there are more people, but I believe anywhere here in Luzon or anywhere throughout all the Philippines, there are people looking for a church just like this. And that's why one church doing lots of soul winning is not enough. It isn't that logical to expect every single person to move to our church, because it's not really that possible for everybody to just pick up their bags and move. It might not be possible. Now turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts 1. When it comes to things that are wanting, you say, Brother Stuckey, why did you start the church in Metro Manila? Because things were wanting in Metro Manila. Look, originally, a couple of years ago, if you had asked me where are you going to start a church, I would have said in Pampanga. That was what the original plan was in my heart, my wife's heart. My wife's from Pampanga. But the things were wanting here in Manila. And you go where their demand is. And this is the area where there are people already looking for a church. And so quite honestly, I do expect people, if they really love God, to put in a bit of a sacrifice. Because quite honestly, you know, my wife and I put in a bit of a sacrifice. And I believe anybody, even if you do live a little ways away, and look, if you're here today, the truth is, you are making a sacrifice if you live a long ways away. And I believe that if you love God, you ought to be willing to make a sacrifice, because there is a cost to serving God. And I understand your Sundays get very busy, you're tired. I understand that. I used to drive an hour and 45 minutes or an hour and a half to a very kind of not quite as much like us church, but it was the best church in the area. I used to drive almost 2 hours to church, and it's tiring, it's exhausting. You get to the end of the day and you say, man, my whole weekend was gone, I didn't get to relax. But you know, I wouldn't change what I did because of the fact I was part of a church that went soul winning and got people saved. And quite honestly, traveling a couple hours to church is not that extreme. Because throughout the Bible, they're going to the wilderness to hear John the Baptist. That didn't take 20 minutes. That took your whole day. It was difficult. And so quite honestly, putting in a bit of an effort to come to church is not really that big of a deal. Notice what it says in Acts 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And so what the Bible teaches here, this is written to people that are at Jerusalem, and the first area you reach is your local area, okay? We're located here in Pasig, we're here in Metro Manila, and our first area to reach is this area. That's why the vast majority of our soul winning is either somewhat nearby or right around the building, because this is the area we've been given to reach. And then what you do is you grow as a church and you reach a new area. You say, how do you reach all of Judea and in Samaria? It's not talking about having a missions trip. Now, missions trips are great, but that doesn't reach that area. You don't reach Samaria by having one soul winning event. You reach it by getting churches started. That's what he's telling them. You have a church here in Jerusalem, but now I want you to reach all of Judea and then Samaria and then onto the uttermost part of the earth. Because eventually every church should be multiplying itself, duplicating itself. It gets established and then all of a sudden it grows and you slowly branch off. And if every church has that goal and that zeal and desire, slowly you will reach all of Luzon. It doesn't happen overnight. But I do believe you ought to have that vision. That's why the first sermon of this church, I said the first goal of this church is not soul winning. We do lots of soul winning. I love soul winning. I go soul winning many times every week, as do a lot of people in this room. But the number one goal is to get churches started. That's why we're trying to help train you guys, give you guys opportunities to preach, sending you lessons on Facebook. You say, why do you do that? I want to give you every opportunity, if you want to be a pastor or start a church, to get trained and know. Because this is the number one goal of our church, to not just reach Pasig, but also all of Metro Manila. And then areas outside of Metro Manila, Cavite, Pampanga, Bulacan, wherever, then under the uttermost part of the earth. Now, turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. I mean, if you go back to 2018, the first, you know, soul-winning missions trip that we had here was great, wasn't it? I mean, it was awesome. You know, we had the missions trip. Lots of people got saved. Everybody was excited. But at the end of the day, it was 1 week. And then after that, a lot of you were left with kind of lame Baptist churches. It doesn't really do you that much benefit. I mean, it's great for a week. It's fun. It keeps you excited. But then eventually, it's kind of lame when you hear bad preaching every week. You're hearing false doctrine. Eventually, what you need is you need churches established. And I believe even with Paul the Apostle, at the heart of him, above anything, was to get churches started. That's why when you're reading the book of Acts, and I encourage you to do this, because I have a bit of a different opinion than a lot of people. When all this soul winning is taking place, I don't think it's just soul winning without a church service. When Paul's going to new areas, every Sunday he's like, hey, this is when we have church service. Then throughout the week, they're doing preaching and getting churches started. I don't think it's just soul winning without church, because the Bible commands you to be a church. So whenever new soul winning is being done, it's in areas to get churches started. So they'd go to an area where there'd be a few people, they'd hold services, they'd do soul winning, try to bring more people, the church would be established. Paul would go to a new area after this area is stable on its own. It's got an ordained man of God. And he'd go to a new area to do the same thing. I don't believe he's just going to an area and going soul winning. No church services. No goal of starting a church. Because in the end, that's a small drop in the bucket. Right. Yes, soul winning is great, but you can do soul winning anywhere. Right. Yeah. I mean, you could just stay here and go soul winning if you're not trying to get a church established. But what Paul the Apostle was doing was getting churches established. It's not just soul winning without church. The whole goal was to get new churches started. Why? Because in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, those were the last words of Jesus Christ before he departed up to heaven. He's saying, reach the world with the gospel. And logically, you don't reach the world with the gospel unless you get churches established everywhere. That's the way it works. Notice what it says in Acts 8, verse 1. And I want you to remember the areas mentioned in Acts 1 were Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Okay? Notice Acts 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. So this church, it's kind of like a mega power with churches. You got like some of the greatest men of God who ever lived at this one church. I mean, what a great church it was. They were growing. They're here. Then they get persecuted. And notice where they get scattered to. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Notice they're in Jerusalem. Persecution comes. Now they get scattered to Judah and Samaria. You say, Brother Stuckey, was that persecution a bad thing? It's the best thing that could possibly happen. You say, how do you know that? Notice what it says in Acts 9, Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Acts chapter 9, verse 31, the Bible says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. Notice how the churches have rest. Churches is plural. What is that saying? There are churches in Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. How did that happen? Because this one powerful church got persecution. They were forced to go to Judea. They were forced to go to Galilee. They are forced to go to Samaria. Look, they were not following what God told them. Jesus told them, reach the entire world. Go to Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and they were perfectly comfortable and happy staying in Jerusalem, having this one great church, getting lots of people saved, but that's not what God wanted from them. What he wanted is to reach all of Judea and Samaria and eventually the world. So what happens? Persecution comes, and now there's churches in Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. That's what the Bible's teaching. And so I want you to realize, when it comes to a church, God does not want this church to be 3,000 people and we start zero churches. That would be a failure. You say, why? Because his goal is to get churches started. Now look, it's not easy to get churches started. I'm not saying we just do this overnight, but here's what I'm saying. If this church is blessed and we get tons saved and we grow and everything like that, and yet we get zero churches started, that is a failure. You say, why? Because it's just what was taking place in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Now look, the comfortable and easy thing is just try to get this church to grow. It's not as difficult, but that's not what God wants. What God wants is you have a church and you reach other areas. You get new churches started. Now there are many parts of this taking place. One part is you need people to preach sermons. And so we have a goal that many men at this church will one day be ordained as pastors. And look, I don't want to force you into the ministry, because if you don't have that desire, then you know it's perfectly fine not being a pastor. You can serve God without being a pastor, but if you do have that desire, I want to help you in any way I can. Why? Because we need churches all throughout Luzon, all throughout the world. And that's what the Bible is teaching here. And so there's many aspects. You need people to preach the sermons, but also every church that gets started, it needs to be financially stable on its own. That's what I believe. You say, why? Because if it's not financially stable on its own, it could never follow what we're saying. It must end up starting a new church. See, what's taking place is Verity Baptist Church invests in this church. Right? We started, they bought us our hymnals. They helped us. They paid for the payment for the missions trip and things such as that. They helped us get off the ground. But the goal is that this church becomes dependent or independent on its own financially, and then it can start a new church that becomes independent on its own financially. That's the goal. Look, we are not going to have Verity Baptist Church Pampanga drain the money at this church. That will not take place. You say, why? Because that church must be independent on its own, which means you keep expenses low and keep things simple until you're able to kind of grow. You know, one great thing with our church is I got an email just less than a couple weeks ago from someone who's in OFW in Canada. And right now, Verity Baptist Church Pampanga is already independently financially. I mean, they're fine for the first couple months. Like, everything's paid ahead. I was very thankful for that because I don't want the money drained from this church. And there's people that love God that say, hey, I'm from Pampanga. We can't find a church. We're going to make that our donating church. And, you know, praise the Lord for that person. And you know what? It's great because of the fact every church must be financially stable on its own. And if it's, I mean, think about companies in this world. Companies will grow and be successful, and the big problem is they try to expand too quickly. Isn't that what takes place? They expand too quickly, they're financially unstable, and then all of a sudden bankruptcy in 2 years. That's not a smart business model. You must make sure every new thing you do is financially independent and stable on its own. Otherwise, the whole system is going to crumble. And so that is what I believe. There's many aspects to getting a church started. But what we see here in Acts chapter 9 is the fact that new churches have been established because the persecution takes place. So realize at this church, you say, Brother Stuckey, you know, why are we putting an investment in, you know, of so much time and effort? Because of the fact that is what God's goal is in the Bible, to get churches established everywhere. And there is a demand in Pampanga because there are families that are looking for this church. There's a demand for that church. We've got a location. We're going to start in the house, you know, very basic, starting out. Why are you doing that? Because we want to be financially stable. And you know what? Honestly, that church is going to grow. And eventually, it can do the same thing, invest in some other church 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now as it grows and becomes financially stable. This is the model of the Bible. Now, turn back to Titus chapter 1. Titus 1. So why Pampanga? Well, because there's a need in Pampanga, but also because Pampanga is close enough that we can send people down to preach. But it's far enough away, we can't really expect people to be dedicated to this church if they live in Pampanga. I mean, it would be a little bit much to expect people to be that dedicated to this church because it's a whole other province. It's a long areas away. Okay? So it's an area that really makes sense because it's close enough that we can send people down, just go down on Sundays to preach, and this church can still be fine on its own. Now, I personally am willing to make an investment in terms of my time and effort. And many men at this church, you know, enjoy preaching. They're willing to make that effort. And you say, why do you do that? Because a church invested in us. Now it's time for us to invest in another church. And then that church needs to invest in another church. And so we invest in this church. We help them get them strong and stable and everything. And then one day, we'll invest in another church. And I don't know where it is. Maybe it's going to be Southern Metro Manila, maybe Cavite, maybe Bulacan, maybe Rizal, the areas around us. But slowly we spread off, and then every church gets strong on its own, and they reach a new area. It's a logical way to reach the world. Notice what it says in Titus 1. Titus chapter 1. So the first point that we had here today was, first there needs to be a demand for a church. But I want you to understand that when it comes to a new church getting started, it's not always a perfect situation. Notice what it says in Titus 1 verse 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. What's taking place is there's basically people either getting together or having church services, but there's no one person running that church. There is no elder or bishop or pastor running that church. So basically they're getting together, going soul winning, probably having preaching, but it's not a perfect situation. Yeah. See, a perfect situation is an ordained elder to run that one church. They're not in a perfect situation here in Titus chapter 1. Okay, now turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. But quite honestly, when a new church is started, we shouldn't expect them to be in a perfect situation. You should expect where it's basically kind of simple to start off and you slowly build on that. When a new church is going to get established here in the Philippines, it's not going to be a perfect situation from day one. Look, when Pastor Jimenez started Verity Baptist Church, there was less than 10 people. And half of those members were his family. There's like nobody there. And then they grew over time. It wasn't a perfect situation from day one, but it was great they had a church. Now, here's the thing. Pastor Amin has worked a full-time job. You say, why? Because when a new church gets started, generally you're going to expect that someone's going to have to work a job because financially they're not going to be able to be independent on their own. And you can't just drain your sending church. Now, we've been pretty blessed here because we had a lot of members from day one. And so we haven't had to drain Verity Baptist Church for money. Now, they were more than willing to send us money if we needed it, but we haven't really needed it. Because just from our tithes and people that have donated to our church, we've been able to get, I mean, pretty nice place. The chairs are pretty nice here. The aircon units are pretty nice. We have three of them. I mean, we're able to have events and pay for you know, soul winning and lunch for everyone on Saturdays. We've been doing pretty well financially, but what we're not going to do is just go above and over our means. You know, I look at the money each week and there's a certain amount and I say, I don't want to drop below this amount. And if we're starting to spend too much, we're going to have to cut back. You say, why? You have to be financially stable on your own. And so when a new church starts like Verity Baptist Church Pampanga, they're not going to have these aircon units on the first day. They're not going to have these chairs on the first day. You say, why? Because they must be financially stable on their own, just the same way we ran things here. Now, we gave them hymnals to start off and some basic necessities because I believe when you get a church started off the ground, you kind of help them hit the ground kind of going. But we're not just going to drain all of our money here. You say, why? Because I don't think that's the model in the Bible, and I don't think it's a very logical method to get churches started. It's going to be a very failing method, okay? Now, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 7, it says, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? And so when John the Baptist was preaching, they're going out in the wilderness to hear him preach. Is this a perfect situation? Going out in the middle of nowhere? It'd be like if we held services in the middle of Rizal Park. Just kind of went there and we're just preaching, and it wouldn't be a perfect situation. But I'll be honest with you, you could have a legitimate, real church that holds church services outdoor where you don't even know, depending on the rain and stuff, what you're going to do. And it's a legitimate church. There's nothing wrong with that. And you can get souls saved, and it's a real church. And John the Baptist is out in the wilderness, and people are coming a great distance just to hear John the Baptist preach. You say, why? Because throughout all time, there's been a need for preachers, of good preachers. And so people are saying, hey, I don't really want to travel hours into the wilderness and spend my entire day, but I have no other options. Because, you know, the church I'm at is teaching that, you know, unsaved people don't go to hell when they die. The church that I'm at is teaching that, you know, hey, you know, if you're really saved, you could never commit suicide. And I guess Samson's in hell because he committed suicide. That's what churches are teaching here in the Philippines. Right. It's like, well, that isn't what the Bible teaches. Because my Bible teaches eternal life, buhay na walang hanggan, which means it's forever, which you could never go to ikalawang kamatayan. Impierno is ikalawang kamatayan. It's not life, it's death, okay? It's very simple. But what I want you to realize here in Matthew chapter 11 is not everybody has a perfect situation. And so they're going out in the wilderness to hear this preaching. Now turn to Mark 5. I mean, right now in our world, you know, we know of people because we have people visit from time to time from Hong Kong and Singapore. And they have soul winning groups established in these areas without a great church. But they go soul winning every week. That is a perfect situation I'm talking about where I believe God wants those people in that area. And I believe one day they will have a real church, you know, an established church. But they're meeting independently and going soul winning all the time, every single week. It's not a perfect situation. But it's better than nothing. And so realize if a new church gets started, it might not be a perfect situation, but it's better than not having any church. Notice what it says in Mark 5, verse 16. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. It's interesting that whenever Jesus went anywhere, they wanted to get rid of him. You say, why? Because Jesus was not a love preacher. He was not Joel Osteen. He actually preached everything the Bible said, and people wanted to get rid of him. And so notice what it says in verse 18. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. So this person who is possessed with many devils is saying, I want to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to be here as part of your ministry. You would say, Brother Stuckey, well, of course, Jesus is going to say, come along with us. But wait a minute, that's not what he does. Notice what it says in verse 19. Verse 19, Mark chapter 5, verse 19. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, saying he did not allow him, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And so when I think about people like in Singapore and Hong Kong, I personally believe God wants them there for a reason and would say, I don't want you to move because we need soul winners in this area. And what's taking place is Jesus is basically being kicked out of the area. And so who else is going to preach the gospel? And he's saying, I want you to stay behind and preach the gospel. Now look, I'm glad we have a great church. I'm glad that we do have an established great church. And I believe one day those areas will get an established great church. But quite honestly, I believe God wants them there for a reason. I do not personally believe that everybody in the Philippines should move to our church. I don't believe that. I don't teach that. And I'll be honest with you. I've heard people kind of preach that before, like everybody needs to move, you know. First off, it's not always easy to move. But I remember reading this scripture and thinking, I don't actually agree with it because the Bible doesn't actually teach that. Now, I think oftentimes you should move, but I don't think always you should move. Why? Because here's an example where they want to follow. He wants to follow Jesus, and Jesus says, no, I need you to stay there and preach the gospel. Now, look, we're happy we have a great church. And look, don't misunderstand me. If somebody is going to a church preaching repentance of sins for salvation, they need to just leave the church.
Right.
But here's what I'm saying. I remember when I was in West Virginia and my church was a decent church. And, you know, I thought about staying there and not moving to Verity Baptist because I thought maybe God has me here for a reason. You know, my church was fine. It wasn't a perfect church, but no church is. But here's what I'm saying. It's not always a perfect situation. For this man possessed with the devils, he's not in a perfect situation. But that's where God wants him to be. Verse 20, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And so you have somebody who's soul winning in this area, and what it will cause is a need for a church. And then eventually, I believe God wants churches in those areas. If I were to give advice to people that don't have a great church all throughout this world or in the Philippines, I would say, do a lot of soul winning in your area and God will bless you with a church. In fact, why does this area have this church? Because there's a lot of people doing a lot of soul winning.
Right.
When you look at Sure Foundation Baptist Church, you know why that church plant was started in Vancouver, Washington? Because there were people traveling a couple hours every day to meet up and go soul winning kind of independently. Going soul winning all the time together. And what happens? God looks down and says, things are wanting. Now we need a church in that area. Now turn in your Bible back to Titus 1. Titus chapter 1. As individuals, we are to lay down our lives for other people. Esteem others better than yourself. As a church, we are supposed to lay down ourselves for other churches and esteem other people better than ourselves as well. As a church, we do the same thing. And so, yes, when it comes to this church starting, it means, you know, it's going to take some effort. It's not going to be easy. You know, we're going to have various guys go down and preach. I'm not going to be going down every single Sunday. And quite honestly, there's going to be an effort where we have various guys going down to preach. We're driving down and we're putting in an effort to get this church started. Now, I believe that here at Verity Baptist Manila, I believe we've been blessed with a lot of guys who know how to preach. When I was gone and everybody preached, I thought everybody did a great job. Everybody did a really good job, and they have an ability to preach. They know the Bible. They have zeal. And that's why I believe this is possible. See, if I was going down every week, I think it would just be a little bit too much to handle. But we have various guys that know how to preach. They have practice. And I think it logically makes sense because it's not a financial drain. And there's people wanting the church. And we have guys that can help fill that need. And what's been amazing to me is that pieces have kind of come together to make this a lot easier. Because it was going to be quite a big effort, and then just things just timed out perfectly, so it's going to be a little bit easier to do. And I believe it shows God's looking down and says, I approve of this work because I don't want you to just stay in Manila. I want you to reach the surrounding areas as well. Now, I want you to understand what the end goal of a church is that gets started. The end goal of a church has a couple different parts. One part is that an elder gets ordained, or a bishop or a pastor gets ordained. Now, notice in Titus chapter 1 what it says in verse 6, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. The Bible says a few things here that someone can be a pastor. First, they must be a man. okay? They must be the husband of one wife. Now, that's not really extreme in the Philippines because we're a Catholic country, and as far as I know, all the priests are men. But, you know, you must be a man, okay? You must be a man with a wife.
Amen.
Okay, so, you know, the Catholic Church that basically has their priests that are not allowed to get married, it's just like, okay, that's like the exact opposite of what the Bible says. But first you have a guy, and he's married, and he has faithful children, okay? Multiple children. You say, Brother Stuckey, what does it mean to have faithful children that are not accused of riot or unruly? The Bible doesn't give an exact age, but I would say if your kids are old enough where people look at them and say, that kid could be a bad person, you know, he's doing a lot of bad things, he's rebellious, then that could certainly qualify as being part of riot or unruly or on that path. The Bible doesn't give an exact age, but it does say you have to have faithful children. And so I want you to realize something. Is Verity Baptist Church Manila in a perfect situation? Do we have an ordained elder at this church? No, we don't. You say, why? Because I'm not a pastor at this point. I don't have faithful children. Now, obviously, we do have two children. Our second one's on the way. Obviously, they're alive from, you know, moment of conception. But here's what I'm saying. You certainly can't say that my baby in the womb is a faithful child. They haven't even been born yet. My son's not old enough, in my opinion, to be determined a faithful child. Now, people have different opinions. That's fine. But what I'm saying is it's not going to be in the next year or two. It's going to be several years before I'll be ordained as a pastor of this church. So it's not a perfect situation. And quite honestly, I still do work a secular job for Verity Baptist Church. So I'm not full time as the pastor here either. Now, I believe a perfect situation would be that the person running the church is full time so they can do more soul winning and devote their time to the ministry. We're not in a perfect situation here, but aren't we glad we have this church, though?
Amen.
Even though it's not a perfect situation, a church doesn't have to be a perfect situation. You say, Brother Stuckey, I thought that when you started a church, you had to basically be full-time from day one with a building already. No, that's what the Baptists say here in the Philippines, but I would love to know the logic behind that. How does that logically work? From day one, you don't have members, but you have to have a fancy building from day one. That doesn't make logical sense.
Right.
Look, when it comes to, and I believe it's kind of the same way here on the mission field or in the U.S., that when churches start, usually the person starting that church is going to have a job until the church is big enough, and then you can basically afford for them to be on staff or be full-time. It doesn't really make logical sense from day one you have to have a fancy building. The Bible doesn't teach that. Doesn't the Bible say the church in thy house a lot? There are churches that met in homes, and they're not less of a church. If they're God's people and preaching's being done and soul winning's being done, that is an established church. And that is a smart method to start a church. A foolish method is to have a really fancy building if you can't pay for it. That is foolish. If you were to do that, and if you were to just drain your sending church because you can't pay for it, that is a foolish method. It does not make sense. Look, we don't have the fancy, we have a nice building, but it's not the fanciest in the world. You say, why? Because we can't afford to have just this perfect building. You have to wait until you can afford these things. You have to be logical about it. So what I want you to see here in verse 6 is a perfect situation. One thing is you have someone who's the ordained pastor. Even though Verity Baptist Church Pampanga doesn't have that, realize neither does this church. And realize that even in the U.S., all the pastors you love and listen to, very few of them are full-time. Very few. It would surprise you. In fact, when I was in the U.S., there were a lot that I just assumed were full-time because they're doing so much for the Lord. And then I found out they're not full-time. They have full-time jobs. And they're just spending a lot of time, you know, basically waking up early, staying up late until their church can be at that situation where they can be full-time. Why? Because that's usually what you're going to have to do. Now, if you can go without that and be full-time, praise the Lord for that. But if not, there's nothing wrong with starting and having a full-time job. Look, a lot of churches here in the Philippines, they say that you must be full-time from day one. And if you can't be full-time, then your wife has to work a lot of hours to pay for the church. And the guy's just got to be full-time in the ministry. Where does it say that in the Bible?
Right.
It's not logical and it's not biblical. There's no verse that would say that. There's nothing wrong with working a full-time job until you can afford to be on staff. Now, I want you to see here in verse number 7, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. And so there are a lot of requirements listed to become a pastor. One of them is familial. Basically, with your family, what we believe and teach is you need to be married with multiple kids. That's one thing. And they need to be faithful. Secondly, you must have a desire to be a pastor. Look, if you don't have a desire to be a pastor, the worst thing you can do in your life is to become a pastor. You say, why? Because you're going to hate your life.
Right.
Look, what does it mean to desire the office of a bishop? It means you enjoy writing sermons. I enjoy writing sermons. I enjoy studying the Bible. That's not necessarily everybody, though. That doesn't make you less either. I do believe there's certain... Because look, if everybody was a pastor, our church would have three people. Me, my wife, and my son. It wouldn't work. There are people that God doesn't really want to be a pastor because they're great, faithful members, and they do more in a supporting role than they would in the lead. We need people like that in churches. But I do believe certain people do have that desire to preach. And if you have that desire, you say, I enjoy writing sermons, you know, I enjoy the work of the ministry, you know, soul winning, I'm okay with working really hard and not necessarily making lots of money, then this might be for you, being a pastor one day. And you train for that, and that's a great thing. That's not necessarily for everyone, but I do want you to realize a desire is necessary. And if you don't have a desire to preach, you should not become a pastor, okay? Even if you've read the Bible 100 times, if you've read the Bible 100 times, you have the New Testament desire, but you say, Brother Stuckey, I don't desire to write sermons or to be a pastor, I don't think you should become a pastor. If you do have that desire or burden, though, then maybe God does want you to be a pastor, and maybe you can study and train for that. And thirdly, what you see is not only a desire, but you need to be prepared spiritually. These things don't happen overnight. When he's being left in Crete to ordain elders, it's a lifelong mission. It's not, hey, you're here in Crete for 6 months. I want you to ordain an elder over these 20 churches. That's not what's being said. It's saying this is a lifelong mission. You say, how does that work? It means training starts at the local church. It means he's training people and preparing them. And look, we don't believe training comes from the Bible college.
Right.
We reject that notion. But if training doesn't come from the Bible college, it must come from the local church. Actual training. Not just you're a member, but there's actual training to prepare for that. And so that's what we believe here. And that's why there is an investment of time and effort to do these things. And that's why, you know, honestly, a church is not just 100% about soul winning. There's many aspects to having a church, especially if you want to duplicate yourself. Now turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. So you say, Brother Stuckey, so basically one day you'll be ordained the pastor and then this church is in a perfect situation, right? No, that's not the end goal of a church. In fact, a church is never going to reach their end goal because you have a permanent goal of getting new churches started. And you're going to see that in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And so the Bible says you are supposed to go and teach all nations. Now look, I understand in today's world we have the online ministry, and somebody can be in a country all over the world and hear a sermon. You say, well, see, you're teaching all nations, but you're not baptizing that person. So don't tell me that an online ministry fulfills this. The only way to teach all nations is if you're getting churches established everywhere. Now, our church is never going to get a church established in every nation in the world. But basically, you look at your local area, your local Jerusalem, and say, we'll put an effort in this area and slowly expand from here. But see, if every church has this goal of duplicating itself, this can actually be done. The reality is most Baptist churches have no desire to get other churches started. Because honestly, it doesn't really benefit this church to get other churches started. If we ordain somebody to the ministry and they leave our church, we lost a good church member that knows how to preach and goes soul winning and is a blessing to our church. And so when somebody gets ordained, it doesn't really benefit our church. And you say, why is it that pastors don't like to ordain people and send them out? Because they don't want to get rid of their members. They say, no, we just want to have everybody here so we can have this big church and we'll have lots of money coming in. Yeah, I understand you don't want to get rid of your members, but the reality is that should be what our goal is. I personally have a desire that one day as this church grows and as time goes by, I would love it if one day we could start a new church somewhere and we could send like 15 people there to help that church from day one start. I think that would be great. You say, why? Because it would probably be pretty hard to start a church from scratch from day one. I didn't have to do that. And I'll be honest, it's a great blessing having other people going soul winning from day one. I would love it if we could start a church a couple hours away and we could have 10, 15, 20 people from day one just help that church start. I believe that's a great model to start a church. Hopefully that will be the case. Notice what it says in verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And so if you're going to teach people to observe all things, the only way this takes place is when you get churches established in areas. One missions trip, yes, we have people from Hong Kong and Singapore and Europe that come for the missions trip, but that's 1 week long. That's not that long. The only way you can really reach those nations is when churches get established. Turn back to Acts 1. Acts 1. Now, I think one reason why churches have kind of lost the concept of getting new churches started is because of the Bible college. They've messed up everything. The whole system is so confusing because people get ordained to the ministry from the Bible college. That's not the way it works in the Bible. You get ordained from the local church. They send you out to be a missionary from the Bible college, but in the Bible, you're sent out from the local church. And so everything's backwards. Now, when you're sent out from the Bible college, you'll go in this process of deputation for two or more years. What deputation is you go from church to church and beg them for money. Yeah. That's what it literally is. What you do is you have this presentation, this slide that goes for 10 minutes. You'll show these starving children, and then you'll basically have this same sermon you preach for 2.5 years. And you basically just don't tell them what you believe. You're very kind of shallow in your preaching. And then you just say, people need the Lord. Don't you think people need the Lord? And then people look at that slideshow and they're like, oh, we need to reach these people. And it's like, it's really just this emotional thing. And it's, look, you know, I don't think emotion is necessarily a bad thing, but we're not Pentecostals either. Amen. If I was preaching at a church, I would be honest about what I believe. And quite honestly, there wouldn't be a whole lot of churches that would give me money. You say, why? Because of what I preach. Right. And see, what takes place, though, is when you have all these people will visit, you know, to be missionaries. When you support them, you're only giving them like $50 a month at the most. You're not giving them a lot of money. See, churches in America, they will have on their wall this big map of the world, and they'll have safety pins or whatever of every area where they support a missionary. And it will be a church of 50 people that supports 50 missionaries, literally. But how much money do they give them? Very little. Now, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Now, here's the reality, though. If somebody is going to become a missionary from a church, they need to get trained from that church, and that church might support them quite a bit. Because if you're not supporting everyone for like 20 bucks a month, it could be a big investment into that. That's why the part of being financially stable is so important. Because it would be a big financial investment that you would make if you're supporting someone full-time from day one. Usually, that's just not going to be possible. It's great if it is possible, but usually, you're just not going to be able to just $2,000 every single month. That's a lot of money. You'd be supporting someone from day one. Now, I want you to see, though, here in Acts chapter 1, I want you to just reiterate what this says here in verse 8. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. This is where your local church is. We are here in Pasig, so it would be basically Pasig here. And in all Judea would probably be Metro Manila. And in Samaria would be kind of all of Luzon. And then onto the uttermost part of the earth would be the uttermost part of the earth, everywhere. This does not take place from one church putting sermons online. It's not going to take place that way. Now, I want you to turn in your Bible to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And because of the Bible college system and people getting ordained from Bible college, churches do not structure their church in a way to try to ordain people for the ministry. They don't really provide any sort of training for them. They don't really prepare them or give them opportunities to grow. They just don't really train anyone for the ministry because they're used to the Bible college doing that. Look, a part of any good church will be some of your time's devoted to try to train men for the ministry. Now, that does take away some time from soul winning, but it is a necessary thing if your goal is to get new churches started. And so I want you to realize churches aren't really structured in a way to get new churches started because that's not really what churches have been doing. Very few Baptist churches actually start a new church one day. They're not really trying to because it doesn't really benefit them. But what you see in the Bible is that the whole goal is to get new churches started because doing lots of soul winning is great, but at the end of the day, people need a church where they can get baptized and hear the preaching of the Word of God, and they can change their lives. So what are the next steps for us here in Manila in terms of a church starting in Pampanga? Well, I want you to notice in Philippians 2, verse number 1. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible reads, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." And the Bible says that we are to be like-minded, and we're also supposed to have the same love that Christ has. Notice verse 3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." And in verse 3, what the Bible says is we ought to esteem or care about other people more than ourselves. Our lives are not about us. Right. They're about other people. And you must understand, as a church, an investment was made to get this church started, and it's time for our church to repay that by helping another church get started. You say, why? Because you esteem others better than yourself. Verse 4, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." So instead of caring about your own things, the Bible says we're supposed to care about the things of others. Okay? This is not just as an individual, but as a church as well. We cannot just focus on what we're doing. We should have a goal of trying to get new churches started and help out other people, help out other churches. Now, turn in your Bible to Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. So you say, what exactly are you saying, Brother Stuckey? How does that work? Well, one thing is this: be willing to volunteer at this church. Right. Say, why is that important? Because quite honestly, you know, it's going to be a little bit busier around here. You know, if I'm going down to preach there quite often, I'm going to spend a little bit more time on my sermons, and things are just going to be a little bit busier. And I'm sure the first couple months, as we're still figuring things out, from time to time, something might be forgotten. It might be a little bit more hectic. And I ask you to be patient with that, because you don't expect new things to be perfect from day one. Nothing is perfect when it first starts. When things first start, you're still trying to figure it out. Look, if you start a new business, it's not perfect from day one. It takes a little bit of time, right? It's going to take a little bit of time for it to become better and become perfect or more complete. When anything as new is started, it's not going to be perfect from day one. So one thing is this: be willing to volunteer here. You say, how do you do that? Well, there's many things that you could do to help us out here. But I'm sure there's things I might not even think about that I'm kind of neglecting or forgetting. And I ask you to help volunteer here. That doesn't just make our church here strong. It's also going to help make the church in Pampanga strong. Because as more stuff is done here, it's going to enable more time to focus in Pampanga on those sermons and also the sermons here as well. Notice what it says in Malachi 1 verse 10. Malachi 1 verse 10, it says, "Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand." Here in Malachi chapter 1, it speaks about how nobody is willing to even shut the doors unless they get something out of it. No one is willing to do it for naught or for nothing. It's like, yeah, you know, I'll close up the building if, you know, you give me a little bit of money. It's like, that's what he's saying here. He's like, nobody's willing to do that. It's like, yeah, I'm willing to open up the building, you know, if you pay me a little bit. So what the Bible's saying here is no one's even willing to do this. No one's even willing to kindle the fire on the altar. You know, just basic things. And what I believe and what I've always practiced in my life is that if I was a part of a church, I ask myself the question, how can I help this church out? Amen. How can I be a blessing to this church? What can I do to help out? So quite honestly, things are going to be busy here. Now, I want you to understand a few things. Not only will we not drain the finances at this church, I will not spend less time on the sermons here at this church. I will spend just as much time preparing the sermons and being ready for the sermons and practicing the sermons as I did in the past. I'll spend just as much time. I'm still going to be going out soul winning. Every Saturday I've been going out soul winning in Case on Memorial Circle. Every Wednesday I go. On Sundays, I won't be able to go every Sunday now, as I'll be in Pampanga from time to time. But I'll still be going during the week. I'm not going to cut back on the things here and basically make the ministry worse here. Now, one thing we did recently, and I think many of you know, maybe not everybody, but I understood things were going to get really busy here. And we've been doing well financially. And we actually hired Brother Dustin to help out on a lot of things here. And it has been a great blessing at this church, because quite honestly, church is busy. It's not easy. It takes a lot of effort, and it really helps having someone being able to set stuff up and prepare things. And I don't want this church to basically be not as good because we're investing in a new church. I want this church to still have the same preaching, the same soul winning, the same standards. I want everything to be running just as it has. Now, realize when we start off, it's going to take a little bit of time to get used to it, but I don't want to forsake the ministry here. That's not what we're doing here. We're just helping get a new church started. Now turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. I never believe you should forsake, you know, what's going to take place in some new ministry, because in the Bible, even when David was, you know, there being appointed as the king, if you notice, all of the brothers went to Samuel because they were interested in being the king, not David. You say, why? Because he was looking after the sheep. He says, my responsibility is to watch over the sheep, and my number one responsibility is to take care of the people here. To do a good job preparing the sermons and preaching the sermons and doing lots of soul winning, I will not forsake the ministry here one bit, okay? But I do want you to realize it would definitely help if people are willing to volunteer both here, but also willing to volunteer in Pampanga as well. You say, how does that work? Well, notice what it says in Romans 12, verse 6. Romans 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. The Bible says and speaks about certain people have an ability to preach. Okay? This is not something that everybody has an ability to do. The Bible speaks about being apt to teach, and not everybody has that ability. There's nothing wrong with that. And if you don't have an ability to teach, there's nothing wrong with being a great, devoted member that volunteers at church, and you can still be a blessing. You don't have to become a pastor. And there's certain people in this room, though, and I want to kind of speak to the people in this room that say, I don't know if I want to be a pastor, but I do enjoy preaching, and I know I can preach sermons. And so for you, one great way you could volunteer is be willing to preach from time to time in Pampanga. You know, say, Brother Stuckey, you know, I don't necessarily want to be a pastor one day, but I'd like to help out a church. I have an ability to preach sermons. I'm willing to preach, and I'm willing to go down once every 3 months to preach one of the sermons. Look, because our church has been blessed with so many people that can preach, you know, honestly, you won't have to preach that often in Pampanga if you want to help, and just preach from time to time. But it would be a great blessing if various people would say, I'd be willing to be in that rotation. I'll preach, whether it's every 3 months or every 4 months, preach one sermon. Because if nobody's willing to volunteer, I'm preaching four sermons every Sunday. And quite honestly, that's going to be difficult. I'm definitely putting in a bit of an effort, but I'm also hoping that people are willing to put in an effort as well. And I know that certain people have said they're willing to do that. And honestly, there's a lot of people that have the ability to preach. Next week, Brother Ehrman and Brother Dustin are going to go down. And then the next week is our anniversary, so Pampanga is actually going to come up here to celebrate with us. The next week, I'll be going down. And then Brother Chris is going to be going down the next week. And honestly, there's a lot of other people that have the ability to preach at our church. I mean, isn't that true that when I was gone, the sermons were pretty good? Amen. Compare that to the other Baptist churches here in Metro Manila.
Right.
There's not any comparison. And see, the members of Verity Baptist Church Pampanga, they think the same thing. That's why they've been asking for a church, and that's why they're willing to put in an effort as well, because honestly, being willing to have church in your house, that is a big effort you're putting in. I've never had a church in my house, but I've talked to people that have started churches in house, and they'll kind of comment about how sometimes people will leave it dirty and things such as that. And it's like, I hope people won't do that, but the reality is, you're putting in a bit of an effort every week to get things set up and to have people meeting there. And I want you to realize they're also putting in an effort because they want this church.
Right.
And they don't have as many members as we have here, but quite honestly, it's financially stable. It's not that far away. And we do have men that have the ability to preach. If it was just me, quite honestly, I don't think we could do it because I don't want to preach four sermons every single Sunday. That's just a little bit too much. I'm willing to put in an effort to do it every other Sunday, and we'll see after 3 months as we're kind of in a trial run to see how things are going to go and to go from there. But honestly, if you have an ability to preach, I would ask you to be willing to volunteer and just say, from time to time, I'm willing to go down there. And as of now, we have a vehicle that will take you right down there. And I mean, honestly, things have come together very nicely. It's not going to be that big of an effort. You have a vehicle that will take you down there. We'll pay for the food while you're down there. And basically, you go down there, and then you come right back up, and you're able to get back to your house, and it won't even be that late. It's really not that big of a deal. And I believe God's already blessing this new church that we're starting. But you say, what are the steps to getting this church started? Be willing to volunteer, both here and also if you have that ability to preach from time to time. Be willing to volunteer down there as well. And I want you to realize, people did invest into this church. You say, what should we do? We need to be willing to invest in new churches that start. And there are people right there that are looking for a church just like this. And I just ask you to be willing to volunteer from time to time. And I know you guys will. You know, everyone at this church, you guys put in a lot of time. You come from a long distance. People volunteer. And I love the fact that this is a church where people are willing to volunteer and put in effort. And I'm just asking you to kind of help partake in this. And quite honestly, the soul winning results that happen in Pampanga, even if you never go soul winning in Pampanga, if you're helping volunteer here, or you're going down there to preach from time to time, you're partaking in their great works that are being done. Amen. Look, we do a lot of soul winning here, but as we start new churches in the future, and I have a goal that we'll get a lot of churches started, we're partaking in the works they're doing by helping them out. And we should be happy to do that. We should be very thankful. People have invested in us. It's time for all of us to invest in another church. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here in your house here today and getting to see your words here, especially about getting churches started and having a goal of a church in every province. And I ask you, God, to help us all at this church have that vision of helping getting churches started all throughout the Philippines. And you know, it's not going to be a perfect situation from day one, and I'm sure things are going to be figured out from time to time, but we have a church with many men that have the ability to preach, and we have people ready in Pampanga for this church. And I ask you to help us all have this servant attitude, God. Help us get this new church started and continue to bless us here in Manila. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.